Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining me again today. We're going to cover lesson 24 today in A Course in Miracles workbook. And this is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you for the best hour radio broadcast here on blogtalkradio.com. If you're looking for us, you can find us on blogtalkradio.com/CourseMastery, CourseMastery. And also you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/CourseMastery. And, you know, you can make some comments there. You can add a little bit into the conversation if you have questions. Also, I want to share with you my YouTube channel, which is, you can find that at, I just created a domain name right now that points you to the YouTube channel so you can find it easily. And that is True, T-R-U-E, Mind, M-I-N-D, shift.com. And you'll see those web links in the description here today for our daily workbook lesson. Today, number 24. Let's jump right in. I do not perceive my own best interest. That one seems, I'm going to say that that's probably one of the easiest print lessons in the 365 workbook lessons. So just on the face of it, to just say that on the face of it, there are many, many times that I run into situations in my life, in my daily life, where that's not unusual for me to tell myself that. I do not perceive my own best interest. It just seems like things get crossways way more often than I would want them to, right? But I know from experience now and also from teaching, education, and the gift that the spiritual journey brings to us that, you know, some of these things are here for our awakening. Some of these difficulties, as hard as that might be, seem to be. And the reason for that, I'll just real quickly share, is because what I've come to understand is that the ego construct, the ego wants us to create our own utopia. And guess what? Where we get to be the one. We get to be special. We get to be godlike. And people, you know, bow down to our power and bow down, you know, and we put ourselves on a pedestal. The ego would put one on a pedestal. And falling short of that, it just continuously beats us up. But the Holy Spirit, if you will, our spirit guides, our true self, if you will, kind of sets us up for these situations so that we can see that if we could even achieve that, then, you know, that then we would be trapped forever, literally, in a world of illusion. A fourth dimensional illusion, as it were. And so this four-dimensional world of illusion is not reality, and it certainly is enticing, and we can be hypnotized, and we are, in fact, then trapped, if you will, into a world of illusion, the game of separation. Let's jump in and see what our brother Jesus has to share with us in this lesson. I do not perceive my own best interest. In no situation which arises do you realize the outcome that would make you happy. I want to read that one more time. I mean, you're starting right off the bat. In no situation. He didn't say in most situations. He says in no situation which arises do you realize the outcome that would make you happy. And when he says you, he's referring here to us as the individual separated self. So therefore, you have no guide to appropriate action. You have no guide to appropriate action and no way of judging the result. What you do is determined by your perception of the situation. And that perception is wrong. It is inevitable, then, that you will not serve your own best interests. Yet they are your only goal in any situation which is correctly perceived. Otherwise, you will not recognize what they are. If you realize that you do not perceive your own best interests, you could be taught what they are. Let's pause on that for a second. If we did realize that we don't perceive our own best interests, then maybe we would open our minds so that we could be taught what our best interests are. continuing, but in the presence of your conviction that you do know what they are, you cannot learn. The idea for today is a step toward opening your mind so that learning can begin. I do not perceive my own best interests. The exercises for today require much more honesty than you are accustomed to using. A few subjects, honestly and carefully considered, in each of the five practice periods, which should be undertaken today. Right? Will be more helpful than a more cursory examination of a large number. So just a few subjects, honestly and carefully considered, will be more helpful than a more cursory examination of a large number. 2 minutes are suggested for each of the mind-searching periods, which the exercises involve. Again, I would like to just suggest that we use our smartphones. We have timers, we have alarms, we have technology that helps us, right? And really, this is a 100% increase in the time. We're going to 2 minutes now today in our practice periods. The practice periods begin with repeating today's idea, followed by searching the mind with closed eyes for unresolved situations about which one you're currently concerned, about which you are currently concerned. The emphasis should be on uncovering the outcome that you want. You'll quickly realize that you have a number of goals in mind as part of the desired outcome, and also that these goals are on different levels and often conflict. Name each situation that occurs to you and enumerate carefully as many goals as possible that you would like to be met in its resolution. The form of each application should be roughly as follows. In the situation involving blank, whatever you want to fill in there, I would like blank something here to happen, and also blank, whatever you want to fill in there to happen, and so on. Try to cover as many different kinds of outcomes as may honestly occur to you. Even if some of them do not appear to you to be directly related to the situation or even to be inherent in it at all. If these exercises are done properly, you'll quickly recognize that you are making a large number of demands on the situation which have nothing to do with it. You'll also recognize that many of your goals are contradictory and that you have no unified outcome in mind and that you must experience disappointment in connection with some of your goals, however the situation turns out. After covering the list of as many hoped-for goals as possible, for each unresolved situation that crosses your mind, say to yourself, I do not perceive my own best interests in this situation. And go on to the next. So now he's telling us, right, to take 2 minutes for each of five practice periods. So we're investing just a little bit more of our day, about 10 minutes total time today. But again, I do believe that this lesson, I do not perceive my own best interest, is something that most of us can agree with, generally, given how things have turned out in our life from time to time. So let's take a good deep breath and pause for just a second and consider this lesson. I do not perceive my own best interest. Let's take a moment here with eyes closed and just think for just a second. We'll just use about 15 or 20 seconds here. And let's just begin that list. Let's see for just a moment. Let's begin to identify what are some of those goals that are on top of mind for you right now. And just make a real quick list here for about the next 15, 20 seconds. Let's take a good deep breath, close our eyes. And let's begin that now. Let's take another good deep breath here now. And settle in. So as we begin this list, in my personal experience this morning, I can tell you that I won't have any trouble spending 2 minutes at a time considering some of my goals. Now, these are goals that the I, Tony, personality self has. I would like to also believe and know that I'm being guided in the process of experiencing the result of some of my goals in the process of having expectations. I, you know, have had some discussions lately with those very close to me that, you know, much of our conflict is the result of two things: a lack of communication between me and others, and different expectations of certain outcomes. And when we really think about our goals and the way we're living our lives day to day, moment to moment, as we go through our day, we can see that we all have expectations in almost every little corner of what we expect our day to roll out as. I mean, I can share with you this morning, I had a completely different expectation of what I could get accomplished before we spent our time here this morning together, before the hour of this broadcast, the best hour. I had completely different, I had completely different expectation of what was possible for me to accomplish. But as the day begins, others have expectations as well that are close to me and involved with me intimately in my life. And so not knowing specifically what their expectations are, and I guess them not knowing specifically what my expectations are, there wasn't a good, you know, agreed upon strategy for the result. We sometimes do feel, as we do we not, that we're, especially with those that are closest to us, that we're moving in the opposite direction. Moving in opposite direction. And it's simply because the small self, the ego self, has the almost unquenchable desire to be in control of each and every moment of our experience. And so we map it out, and we have a hard, literally a hard, I'll call it a hard expectation of what our day is supposed to be like. Just the day. Okay, what is my week supposed to be like? A week ago, today is a Friday. So we could say the 24th of January. So what's our expectation for the weekend? Does it align? Do we take the time to align it with the other people that are closest to us? You know, this is really important, I believe, personally, to help to keep our relationships to keep our relationships in an energy and in a holding them in a consciousness that is supportive and not degenerating. Because fear is degenerating and love is supportive and generating, life giving, life sustaining, life supporting. But fear, anger, is degenerative. And it causes, if we're not really giving it attention, I think it can absolutely cause a degeneration of relationship. We look at our world today, certainly look at our Western culture, and if we just look at the statistics for the number of young couples that are getting married and then getting divorced. In fact, if we just look at the statistics of the of people that are getting married and what age they're getting married as compared to how they did in the past, we can see that there's a decline. There seems to be more and more movement towards keeping ourselves separated and not too invested in relationships. And relationships are what, and they can be the only way for us to resolve our issues. In other words, to awaken. Because the resolution of our issues of being entrapped by the mind of separation, the ego thought system, the only way, that's called in the Course in Miracles salvation. And for that to be resolved, for that to be come to completion, is an awakening process. And that cannot be done by us as separated selves. You have to forgive God because God created you in relationship, and you cannot be outside of relationship. Even in the story of Adam and Eve wasn't able to participate in the metaphoric story of the knowing of good and evil until she was joined in relationship with Adam. Yes? You didn't come into this experience, it's been said, by ascended masters, by awakened communications from beyond the veil, that you didn't come into this experience without being in agreement with another one of your brothers and sisters. We don't come in alone, and we don't go out alone. In other words, we don't wake up alone. We're going to be talking about holy relationships as we continue on in our textbook and as we continue on in our workbook lessons. But we're building blocks right now. And so today, if we're just looking at the goals that we have, and we can break it down into the goals for today, we could 5 practice periods today. We could start with our first practice period this morning and simply say, what are my goals for today? And do they align with others that are close to me that will be impacted or affected by my expectations? And does it make sense to take a few moments then in our day to connect? Communication is key to connect with those around us. And simply ask ourselves a very basic question. Let's take a good deep breath. We become present, and we ask for a question. We ask a simple, we begin the dialogue with the higher self, our Holy Spirit, nothing more than our right mind, and just simply ask the question. What is the best way I can be the expression of love in this situation? How can I express my goals in a way that can be received in a loving way, in a way that can be received as mutually beneficial to those that are around me? If the small self, the I, me personality, the separated mind, that believes itself to be separated, is incapable of perceiving its own best interests, it kind of does make sense, doesn't it? If we had this brilliant teacher, friend, comforter, guide available who knows all, in other words, knows exactly what our best interests really are. And the interesting thing is that they were always aligned with the best interest of all of our brothers and sisters. Those that are close to us, of course. Those that are intimately in our relationships in life together. Intimately, relationships are always working together towards the mutual benefit of both parties, or all parties, if you will. Yeah, it would be really good to check in with that voice of wisdom, that voice of love, that voice of caring, that voice of knowing, and find out. Because if the small separated self does not know its own best interest, it's much like a child or maybe a favorite pet. You know, we have a favorite pet, but we dare not let it go outside because we recognize that it has no concept of its own best interest. Can you see how we Can you see how that is, those friendly loved ones, our little animal friends from the animal kingdom, are really showing us ourselves? If they don't know their own best interest, but we think we do, the key word there is think. Because our own best thinking has created our life as it is right now, right now, right now. I think it's amazing and interesting at how we literally construct a drama around what we think we need or what we want, what our expectations are, and we're constantly trying to force the world and others, if you will, to align with what we want. Because why do we want it? Why do we want what we think we want? And here he's telling us that often we're going to see that there's a tremendous amount of conflict between what we think we want and what our goals are, because we don't realize that they're opposing each other. And that's what our exercise for today is to sit down and really start looking at those thoughts, those desires. Surely he's leading us to some solutions. And of course he is. But it's really important that we really put our thought system of the ego self, the ego mind, under the microscope as we're moving forward over these next few days, as we move towards the discussions and our mind begins to open up to the solutions. Because if we can't see what's not working, we will not have a conviction towards finding solution. We won't make the effort to be devoted and disciplined to move beyond the thought system that has imprisoned us in this never-ending circle of going round and round and round of being unhappy. The ego's motivation, or the ego's, the ego is, mantra is seek but do not find. Seek but do not find. And we spend all of our time, not unlike what's coming to my imagery right now, is the picture of the horse with the stick and the carrot dangling out just in front of it. And it believes that if it goes towards it or faster, that it'll eventually catch it, not realizing that as it moves, the goal moves with it. It never gets any closer. Maybe momentarily it looks like we're gaining on it, but we're not really, because it's an illusion to believe we could catch that carrot, so to speak. It just keeps moving further away as we keep moving toward it. Wouldn't it be great if we had some help and we could see maybe a different desire for ourselves, a different desire for our lives, a different desire for our relationships, rather than just being in a relationship with somebody else that's supposed to keep me happy, make me happy, serve me, whatever the ego would want to validate its existence as being a worthy human being. Interesting, yes? Interesting. Well, I would tell you that I do not know my own best interest. And there is a process that we begin to take advantage of. And it's really about being humble. And some of the classes that I teach, I frequently emphasize it. And it is the I don't know mind. But what it's saying all day long, the controlling aspect and the protector and the skeptic and all those different aspects of you as an individuated, separated self, would convince us continuously that no, we can, maybe if we don't know that, we can figure it out. We know, we of course, we're smart. We can figure out what's what is in our best interest, we can partner up with the right person. We can get the right job. We can drive the right car. But those are all constructs based on the past and a sampling that we've had of the world in this lifetime. How much would that change if you lived on the other side of the planet? Or maybe across the other side of the ocean? Or in some third world country? What would your expectations be? What would your goals be? How much divergence is there just geographically in our planet about what people's perceived needs and wants are after just being on the planet for a few decades? Sometimes just having enough food to feed our children, feed our families, or to feel safe that the governance that we have employed to help us to prosper in this world isn't using its power to abuse us. There are many, many, many possibilities for the ideas of what our goals might be. And we may have some similarities here in our Western culture, some similarities about what we value and what we put value on. But as the mind begins to awaken, those values change. And when we were children, nobody told us at any point, really, to put those toys away. It's just one day you and I realized they really didn't hold the value that we perceived that they had anymore, and we set them aside. It doesn't mean that we need to deny them. Doesn't mean that we need to destroy it or be angry about it or not honor the time that we spend with every thing in our experience that is teaching and we're learning from and gaining from. Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that at all. But as soon as we realize that there's no value in that toy, it goes in the toy box and given away to someone else, or may not come out of that box for many, many decades. Things change because our minds change. What we obtain and bring into our experience change because our consciousness changes. This is a very powerful lesson today. They all are. Yes, they all are. But I hope and encourage that you will spend the 5 minutes, the five practice periods today, the 2 minutes on each one to really search your mind to understand I do not perceive my own best interest, even if it can be a little humiliating, if you will, to the ego self to admit that we don't know. We just don't know. We don't know what our own best interest is. So let's take a good look at it and see what we can discover today as we go forward. I love you, my brothers and sisters. Stay the course. God be with you.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.